Good morning and welcome to our podcast. Today, I, as usual, have Dr. Mari on with me. Hi, Mari. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. So last time we did our podcast, we were talking about relationships with emotionally unavailable people. And we decided to do this podcast because it's a great connection to setting boundaries in all relationships, but specifically in relationships with emotionally unavailable people. And one of the things that I witness in doing my readings with people, when they come to me, they've met somebody either on a dating site or somebody new. And dating, you know, these days can be really hard because people have a really hard time connecting with other people. They think that they connect. And in the beginning, it's the love bombing stage and everybody likes everybody and they're complimenting each other because each person is looking for something from the other person. And a lot of times they just don't take the time to really get to know the person. And so they miss the emotional unavailability. But also I have witnessed emotionally unavailable people in the beginning seem to be very open and open-hearted. And once the love bombing stage stops and the emotionally unavailable person either A, gets what they want, B, feel like they're being pressured into something more that they're not ready for, or C, they just become afraid, the person that is calling me is having a really difficult time dealing with that because they feel like they're being rejected. And you and I have talked a lot about there's an art to setting boundaries, healthy boundaries in a relationship. And so I wanted to get your take a little bit on a client that actually wrote in and has asked us to give her some feedback. She went on a date with a guy. She started seeing him and she really took her time, or at least she thought she did. She, you know, waited a couple of months before she became intimate with him. And once they finally became intimate, it was great for about 2 weeks. And then she started to feel like she was smothering him. And she just felt like she had this emotional need. And as she kept trying to get that back from him and have him mirror back and give to her, the more the guy ran. And eventually what happened was about a month into it, he finally said to her, you know, I'm just not ready. I just can't do this. And so she wanted us to talk a little bit about that. And I think that's a pretty general thing that happens with emotionally unavailable people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So what would you tell somebody or how would you have them deal with something like this?
Well, I think one is establishing your own internal boundaries. Like, what are you willing to do? What aren't you willing to do with another human being? You know, so you establish, and it could be something trivial, like, I want someone who calls me every day. You know, we don't have to have long conversations, but I want someone who calls me every day. And if someone goes beyond that boundary, then you know, hopefully it's a balance. You look at the situation before you make a judgment, but you decide if they're not capable of doing that, then they're not capable of being with you. So the boundary is set. That makes sense.
But don't you think that that is also not really understanding the other person? Because there's a lot of really great relationships where somebody doesn't need to, you know, or want to talk to somebody every day in the beginning stages. It might be 4 times a week and then they get together. And my feeling is, and maybe I'm projecting, is that's really needy when somebody is saying, I need you to call me every day. I mean, that's instead of really knowing the person that you're with, you're actually making demands on them to do something that they can't do in the first place.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, so
they're not willing to, right?
Yeah, it's probably a bad example of somebody calling 5 times a day. But I guess what I'm saying is you have to understand what your emotional needs are, right? And then set your boundaries around that. Mm-hmm. So for me personally, I don't need a lot of human contact. You know, I love people, but I like people in doses, including anybody that I'm romantically connected to. So if I'm that type of person, my boundary says I don't want you to call me every single day, right? I need you to give me space. So I protect my space. I communicate that in a way that says, this is not about you, it's me, right? Mm-hmm. This is how I am. This is who I am. So that, like you just said, you get to know the person. So then I, you know, this person doesn't take it personal if I don't call you every day, because it's just not who I am. I don't do that with anyone. It's not about how much I love or like someone.
So what if you're in a relationship with somebody and you're just establishing, you know, the very foundation of it, and you say, I don't need to be on the phone with you every day. Mm-hmm. And they say, you know, I have a little bit of an insecurity about that and around that. You know, I was in a relationship in the past, and I'm not trying to project, but, you know, I found out that she was actually, or he was actually seeing someone else. Mm-hmm. And you know, there is the balance in a relationship. An emotionally unavailable person is oftentimes a mirror of us. And right. We don't even see our own emotional unavailability because it is so mired down in our emotional needs. You know, right. Emotional unavailability is disguised by being overly needy. People don't believe that, but it's true. And then once you get your needs met, you become emotionally unavailable, or you're like an empty pit. You back up and it's like, I need. You know, and you are not giving. That is emotional unavailability too. And right. So I think that when you're establishing your boundaries, like you said, when somebody says to you, hey, Mari, I have a little bit of an insecurity around that. There was somebody that I was with and, you know, I really like you. And is there a way for us to talk so that I do know that you're there without feeding my insecurity? I mean, is that possible?
I think it's possible. I think it's a slippery slope, but I think it's possible, right? So, you know, in any relationship, there's compromise. Mm-hmm. But the core boundary, your core boundaries are the ones that are fundamental, and there are things you're not going to go against. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then there's, so it's kind of concentric circles. So it goes out from this core to the next realm and to the next realm and to the next realm. And so in something like that, the person has to know themselves. Again, that's where their internal core boundaries live. So if that is going to be something that's off-putting to this person, they're not going to be able to engage with this person, it's painful emotionally to do it every day, mm-hmm. then I would say this is not the relationship for them, because they know their core boundaries. They know at their mm-hmm. core, this is not something they can do. Now, if it's something that's flexible or they have flexibility in that area, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But that's not really boundary crossing. You know, because mm-hmm. it's one of those things that, like, okay, I'm a little bit fluid there, so that's fine. Mm-hmm. And so I think sometimes we're afraid to have some rigid core values around ourselves, which
I agree.
Call boundaries. Those are the core rigid things that we have around us. And when we don't have those and we don't know those, we let people do things to us that we don't like or enjoy, and then we feel bad that we feel bad.
Well, yeah, yes, because there are so many people out there wanting to find somebody, their special person, their soulmate, their twin flame, whatever you want to call it. Their person. And, right. And dating is difficult because it's like a smorgasbord. There are so many men and women out there, and right. We look for things. And especially what I see with men and women is attention. The moment someone gives them attention, they believe that, boom, they're attracted to me. They like me. And right. Their brain kicks in and the chemicals are released and it feels really good. And what they don't realize is they're feeding off of the attention of the person. They don't know the person yet. And right. It takes time to get involved, but they want to be wanted. And I think right. that we have to understand, you know, if you're in that space and you're feeling needy, you have to say, I want to be wanted. And women say to me, is there anything wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with wanting to be wanted. The problem is that when you are wanting someone who doesn't want you in the same way. And so the question that I have for you is, how do you help someone who is saying to you, but Dr. Mari, I want to be wanted. It felt so good to have his attention, you know,
right.
and his compliments. And he took me out to dinner and he texted me every day, 24/7. I couldn't get enough of it. Boom. He goes cold. How do you help someone in that way?
So for me, that's a person that's unbalanced, right? Mm-hmm. You have to want yourself first, which sounds like, you know, counterintuitive. So for instance, I use myself as an example all the time. I love a man to bring me flowers. Like that's a thing for me, right? So what do? I buy flowers for myself all the time because I love flowers, right? I want a guy to bring me flowers, and that's wonderful when they do, but I never deny myself having flowers waiting for the guy to bring them to me.
So you give to yourself first, right?
I give to myself first.
All right. But how do you help a person that is in that cycle? I call it the hamster wheel. And they are thinking to themselves, as they have had several failed, you know, dates or relationships, or at least they call them relationships, you know, even though they don't go past a month. How do you help that person on the hamster wheel that keeps saying, but I did, and they did everything right, and there's something wrong with me, and they just, it's turnover. It's like, I went out with this one, and then it's turnover, and I went out with this one, and you see what I'm saying?
You know, some of those things are red flags, and I might not be answering the question the way you want me to, or what you're getting at, but some of those things are red flags. When someone gives me too much of themselves too early, then I worry about that person being balanced as well. It's kind of like you said, you know, they do the love bomb. So they're love bombing me. And so again, if I have good core boundaries, I would say, hey, we're not in that type of relationship yet. So why don't we back up and slow this thing down a little bit till we get to know each other.
Yes, but the need is like a dirty dragon, you know, and the person that is needing the attention and feeling good. I call it, you know, forgive me, but I call it feeding off of other people. And I see a lot of that on this online dating. People are literally vampiring the energy from another person, sucking their blood, leaving them dry.
So we have to recognize that, right?
We do. Then it becomes dating apathy. They don't want to do it anymore.
And so for me, it's like a pendulum. That's a pendulum swinging from one side to the other, one side to the other. And I'm saying I want the pendulum to be in the middle, right? So that I do enjoy the company of a gentleman. I do like the attention from the gentleman, but I also have learned, and this is something we have to learn. It's not something that we normally do. I have to learn how to like my own attention, the attention I give to myself. What do I do for me that makes me feel just as good as when someone else does that for me?
You're saying, here's the way that I would translate that. So you're saying, I am not seeking the attention of another person to fill my void.
Right.
And that is very powerful in setting relationship boundaries. Right. When you don't need the attention of the other person, you actually like the person, you want to get to know the person,
right?
You will set the boundaries naturally.
Absolutely.
You know, if somebody says to you, show me your tits, right? You're going to be like, nope, click, and you will delete that person. If he sends you a dick pic, done. You know better.
Because you have your core boundaries are set. They're set.
Yes.
You're saying, I will not accept anyone who doesn't accept what I want, right?
Yes.
I will not accept anyone who does not do what I do for myself.
Right. So, and you have to pay attention to being uncomfortable. That's knowing yourself with, that makes me really uncomfortable the minute that, you know, and I have some really great clients that will say to me, you know, this guy asked me immediately to send me a picture of my chest.
Right.
And I said, absolutely not. And my question is, did you continue to talk to him? And if they say yes, yeah, I'm a little blown away because somebody already showed you who they are.
Exactly. So I had this encounter with someone last week. And we were joking. It was a joking thing. I was with my girlfriend at one of her family events. And the guy says to my girlfriend, he says, hey, you know, hook me up with your friend. She's really cute. And my girlfriend says to him, you don't have enough money for her. you know, like you have to have money to have date her or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we kind of it was laughing and joking. So it was not serious. And then, so when he came over to me, he said, well, I heard that you know, I can't afford you. And I said, no, it's not you affording me. It's you affording yourself with me. So I like to do very nice things. I like to go to very nice restaurants. I don't need your money, but I need you to have enough money to do the things that I like to do. Mm-hmm. You could pay for you. I could pay for me. And I don't have to deny myself of the things I want to do because you can't participate.
Ah, I gotcha. Okay. So you understand? Yes. So you understand based on that example that you need somebody that isn't going to drag you down. I mean, you know, where you're not going to feel like you're leaving them behind. And then also that you're not having to pay for them because that, you know, makes you uncomfortable. Yeah. And there's a dependency there. And every relationship is different. Mari is just giving an example of what works for her.
Right.
Some people, you know, love to, you know, be generous in that way and pay for people. You know, it just depends on the relationship.
Well,
And
so, yes, it does. But I guess what I'm saying is, so if someone is in this position where they're always taking care of someone else, mm-hmm. and they're not able to have someone take care of them, I worry about those people too, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is, it's wonderful to be generous. I mean, I love giving gifts. I really do. And I like, you know, I take my girlfriends out all the time. If I'm going on a trip, I'll say, hey, buy your ticket. I'll pay for everything else, you know? Mm-hmm. So that, it's not that.
Me
it's
too,
just that
yeah.
when I'm depleted, when I'm empty, I need you to be able to give me what I give you. That's what I'm referring to.
So this is an equal exchange or close to equal. Because like we've said, it's not always equal. Sometimes it's 60-40, sometimes, and that'll switch. Yeah.
Right.
So when we are looking for somebody or in any relationship, whether, and this goes for parents and friends as well, right? I think that, and I have found that when we do things for ourselves, like you're saying, we are filling ourselves up with things that we love. And instead of the craving, I just want somebody to love me, I just want somebody to love me, you are saying to yourself, I'm going to go love me. I'm loving me right now because I've always wanted to go windsurfing. And you
right.
go down and you take a lesson.
You go windsurfing. Now, would you want to go with somebody you love? Yes, you absolutely
would. Yes, but it's not necessary. But it isn't necessary because
right.
you are doing something that you love. And some people say to me, and I get a lot of this, you know, it's like, well, it's my age and I don't want to do that. And I don't feel like doing anything, you know, I'm getting old. And there's all these excuses. And at the end of the day, they'll say, I just really want to watch Netflix. And I go, well, there's a lot of people out there that want to watch Netflix too. They want to do exactly
right.
what you're doing. You have
Absolutely.
To know, are you really open? Do you really want the relationship? Because there's the unavailability, though, because they'll say,
right.
I don't want to do any. Yet they're craving a relationship. You see, they create, and then they do go out with somebody, and they go out with the wrong person, right? Because subconsciously, they want to go home and watch Netflix. They don't really want the relationship.
Exactly. So then they're dishonoring their own boundary, right? So that's what they're doing. They're
mm-hmm.
saying, I'm going to go cross my own boundary and do what you want to do, even though I hate it, you know,
mm-hmm.
instead of saying, I actually love watching Netflix and I like watching movies and I want someone who does that with me.
Mm-hmm.
And that becomes extraordinarily important. And I'm not going to cross over into, you know, X Games because that's not me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm crossing over
But I'm
myself.
Also, yeah, but I'm also talking about how people will say, I want this. They'll say, you know, I don't really want to go do anything. I just want somebody that'll hang out and watch shows with me and, you know, go walk at sunset with me, really simply. Okay. And they put that out there and yet they go out with somebody that winds up being a triathlete, right?
Right.
And
like
then,
that,
right there, but you are choosing somebody, I'm telling you, you like them, you like what they are, you idolize that, you love their attention, yet you want to go hide in your cave and watch Netflix. And what you have to
right.
figure out is, are you a closet triathlete? Or is the
right.
truth that you wanted a taste of that, but you really want to be alone at home to watch Netflix because you aren't into the intimacy of a relationship.
Right.
You see,
yeah.
it's complicated.
You're emotionally unavailable, right.
There's emotional unavailability in disguise again.
Right.
You say that you want something, and the truth is that you don't. And I've been guilty of that myself, right? And where actually I've looked outside myself and said, I really want that. But the truth is I wasn't ready for it. And it took a while for me to get there. And I had to get real with myself. And I think that's something that, you know, creates another complexity to dating and relationships. You know, and you and I actually talked to you about this last week. I had a client that got into a relationship with a man who was married. And it wound up going pear-shaped after about a year and a half. And they broke up and he continued to be married. And she went off and started dating somebody else. And they came back together I guess it was like 2 years later, and he was divorced. And she said to me, he is the love of my life. And I want him. But the problem is he never chose me first. And I said, because you didn't choose yourself first.
Right.
You put yourself into a relationship with a married man. And she kept saying, but I cannot forgive him because he didn't choose me first. And I said, so what you're telling me is you wanted him to choose you and leave his wife for you. And she said, yes. And he didn't do that. So now I'm going to punish him. And I said, no, you're not. You're punishing yourself because you're emotionally unavailable and you don't even see it. You keep yourself safe. So when people come to me and they say to me, when I was dating so-and-so, let's just say you have two single people, right? Let's call them John and Debbie. And John and Debbie date. John breaks up with Debbie and goes out with somebody else or whatever. Debbie breaks up with him and she goes out with somebody else. And they come back together 2 years later, different people because of the experience that they've had between the 2 years. And one of them feels like, I can never trust you because you left me for that other person. If that is an emotional unavailability and it's very punitive, I don't know what is. So my question to you is, how do we help people get over that too? Like that boundary, that barrier?
Ooh. You know, so I guess what I hear in that is really pain and disappointment, right? And so I think the emotional unavailability is a secondary factor to that. So then we start figuring out, how do I deal with the pain of rejection, the pain of whatever that is? And it's really not about what the other person did. It's about me and how I process that information. How do I forgive myself for allowing myself to be hurt is oftentimes what I hear in my office.
What about setting up, but how would they set, yes, keep going, but I want you to really address that. How do they set a boundary here for themselves to be okay with this? Okay, go ahead. Well, I'm sorry.
And I think in that processing, so if I say I cannot forgive myself for allowing myself to be hurt, right? What comes out of that? I'm bad, I'm stupid. Then guess what? If I'm bad and I'm stupid and I can't trust myself because I did this to myself, then I can't be around people. I can't open up. I can't be emotionally available because I can't trust me. Right?
Is that what that says? So, it says I can't trust me because I didn't see this, or
I didn't see it. I didn't make the right choice. Whatever it is, it comes back to basically, like you said, punishing yourself for what occurred. And sometimes it's just you learned. You learned that's not the type of guy for you. Or you learned to have really good boundaries. Or it's just an opportunity to learn.
Or what if you just grew? What if the problem was one of them was too emotionally needy, or the other one wound up being attracted to somebody more because, you know, we were too emotionally needy, or they were. And we both grew and you come back together for a stronger relationship. But you have to allow that.
You have to allow that, right? But again, if I can't trust my own judgment, then I'm not safe. I'm not safe to be around people. I'm not safe to connect to people, really. And I don't mean being around like being in a crowd of people. I'm talking about being across the room or across the table from somebody I really care about. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't let myself do that because I'm not smart. I'm not wise. I'm stupid. So instead, I just don't make any decisions at all. That means I close myself off. Even though I'm the life of the party and I go on dates, I do all this stuff, I don't trust me, so I'm not going to trust this relationship. So I stay disconnected from it.
That's emotional unavailability again.
That's what it is. Mm-hmm. So how do we fix it?
Yeah.
We acknowledge what happened, the facts, not the feelings, the facts. The facts are I dated John. John, you know, ended up backing off from me. Okay, well, how long did John and I date? Oh, 3 weeks. Oh, maybe 3 weeks is not long enough to know someone. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So it's like I get to learn that I need to add time to dating.
Or
not just the, the emotions.
Yes, very, very true. Right. 3 weeks is nothing. That's, you know, you can't even blink your eyes in 3 weeks. But you got it. I like that. And then the other sign. Yeah. So John says, I dated Debbie for 6 months. And Debbie, you know, found somebody else. And we look at the facts. And the facts are, you were too emotionally needy. You were stalking her. You needed to be with her all the time. You'd get really angry and jealous when she wanted to hang out with her family and friends, right? And so she found somebody that was going to give her the space that she needed. And what did you learn? Well, I'm rejected. I'm not good enough.
Right.
Those are all of the things that we go through. And we grow in the period of a break. We hope that we grow in a period of a breakup by seeing the facts. And so John may come back to the situation and say, you know, I texted her 40,000 times a day. I was always at her house. I didn't trust her. I was suspicious of other men. And what did you do? You created exactly what you thought through your fear because that was your predominant emotion.
Right. And so hopefully, how does he set the boundary? He doesn't set it with other people. He sets it with himself.
Mm-hmm. So for example.
I am not going to allow my insecurities to push me into stalking someone.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So
yes.
it goes back to him and the boundaries that he needs to create, those internal boundaries you create for yourself. They're not always against someone else. Sometimes it's for us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I have a really sharp mouth. I have a really sharp tongue. Really, really sharp. And when you piss me off, I'm going to tell you about it. You know? But that's not really good in relationships. You know, sometimes I have to figure out what am I upset about so I can explain it in a way that you understand it and we get to resolution versus me just telling you how pissed off I am at you and how I never want to talk to you again.
That is a very predominant factor in a lot of breakups that I see. People will come to me for a reading, you know, and I'll stop after reading about 10 minutes and I'll say, can I ask you a question? And they go, sure. And I say, did you go off on him verbally? Did you attack him? And there's always a pause and it always comes out very sheepish. And it's, yeah, I did. But then it's followed by, but you know what he did to me? But the way that you attacked him or her, shut them down. Take responsibility for your sharp tongue and what you did, because I'll tell you, some people, they never come back from that if you give them that sharp tongue too many times. And then you kill your own relationship, though, is what I'm saying.
Right.
You kill it.
Right. So it's back to the pendulum swinging. So what I do in my office is I say, okay, where's your pendulum? Is it on the left? Is it in the right? Or is it in the middle? So I need it to be in the middle. Before you speak, when we're talking about somebody who has a volatile type of communication style, I need it to be in the middle. Why? I'm too pissed off for it to be in the middle. Okay. Well, let's process why you're pissed off. Because as you start processing, you start understanding why you're upset, not just feeling upset. So when I understand why I'm upset versus feeling why I'm upset, I now can articulate what I need to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It makes
and now my pendulum is in the middle, and now I can communicate accurately, articulately with this other person, and I get to make judgments out of that conversation versus, well, he did this and I did that, and we just, you know, we're battling.
So
nobody wins the battle.
Would we then say that self-control is born from understanding ourselves?
I would say self-control is born out of understanding ourselves and setting really good core boundaries.
Because when we have people, and you hear it and I hear it, and they say, that's just who I am. He or she is just going to have to deal with it. And then they kill their relationships. That's when they come to us and they're raw and they're real. And they realize, you know, what I do is I use my anger as a way to protect myself. A lot of the reasons that people spit out really angry words at other people is they are releasing energy, and the energy has nothing to do with the situation, with the other person. It literally is an old pent up pattern and emotion that you either observed as a child, experienced as a child, and it became a habit. And you don't realize it, but I see people protect themselves because they're screaming, I'm hurt.
Right.
I can't handle this. You're scaring me because I think that you're going to break up with me, or because you cheated on me, or because you're not a true friend. You actually betrayed me. And the betrayal and all of those things didn't even happen. Those are a lot of patterns.
You're saying, I'm going to fire you before you fire me.
They're also screaming, I'm scared.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I'm scared of getting fired, right?
I'm scared. I'm scared. And then fill in the blank. I'm scared of rejection. You know, I'm scared that I'm a loser. It's all of those things that you said. Right. So back to what you said. So self-control is putting the pendulum in the middle, and it's going to always swing a little bit because we're thinking, absolutely. You know, your mind thinks and the pendulum swings. And that's what, you know, creates this emotion. But what we're trying not to do is have a far swing to the left and to the right.
What we don't want to do is respond to the far swings to the left and the right. That's what we're trying to do.
So processing, you have people process through just speaking to you. So that, is that how you do it?
Yeah. Or writing it down, or whatever works for you. Mm-hmm. Right. So you have to start again, knowing yourself. Mm-hmm. So when I'm supercharged, there's a couple people that I call, mm-hmm. right? Cause I know that they're reasonable people. They're going to tell me the truth. They're not going to pump me up and make me even more pissed off than I already am. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to say, they might say, yes, you have every right to be upset. Absolutely. Now, what are you going to do about it? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. or they'll be like, well, I'm not so sure you should be upset. Think about it this way, mm-hmm. you know, or what have you. So I know I have to have those type of people in my life all the time. Mm-hmm. That means I have to nurture those relationships so those people can be there for me in those moments when I can't, and no one can predict the moment. It's going to happen when it happens. Mm-hmm. So I have to do a lot of work ahead of time so that I have people available for when those moments happen.
And also being aware of the feelings that come up that trigger us, that make us want to react, right?
Absolutely.
Like, I have very few friends, very few close friends, but you're one of the people that I'll talk to. You just listen. And you already know that's really what I need. You know, right. You can say one sentence to me and I'll take that for 3 weeks and I'll work on that. I'll understand myself more and more. And then I have another really good friend. Her name is Leslie. And you know, she's very strong, very powerful. And boom, it's positive. It's like, this is what you're going through. You know it. You can handle it. And so my relationships aren't needy. What they are is almost like, you know, it's almost like I feel like I have wise women around me. But those relationships were born because I learned about emotional dumping. I learned about self-control. And that's what you're saying.
Right.
And
but
so
these are all these skills are learned. They're not magically downloaded to you. You could have the best parents in the whole entire world, and you still have to learn this technique or learn these skills.
Because when I read for clients that are struggling, you know, and yes, we talk about it, and yes, I have them write it down, but they're actually looking for an energetic interaction. And there was a really great article in the New York Times. I sent it to you. My son actually sent it to me. And it is about what you and I do, how we work psychology and sort of the magic of the mind, right? And energy together. And what I find is I can dig out those moments. If somebody will give me enough time, I can dig the moment out of when it happened and who it happened with. And what's interesting is sometimes it's even somebody that's crossed over, right? And they'll come barreling through and give me the information, and the person has the aha moment. But the aha moment is just the beginning. That's the moment where they, you know, come to you and they say, what do I do with this? I've got, you know, this looks like somebody took pizza and put it in a Cuisinart, you know, can we put this back together in a way that would look like a pizza again? So back on, you know, we're talking about positive relationship boundaries. And what you're saying is positive relationship boundaries begin with yourself and knowing yourself, right? But it's also about self-exploration, self-observation. But you're also telling me the very root is self-control.
Right. But yes, that's true. But the key to me is patience and grace.
But that's self-control. That's self-control too.
It is. You have to pay up patience and grace with yourself. You're not going to get this quote unquote right. Like you were talking about triggers. Triggers are only identified after it happens. You can't know your triggers until they've triggered you. But a lot of times people get upset with themselves that they're triggered. I'm like, well, you didn't know the trigger. That's the whole point. It's a trigger. Now, once you know and recognize it, now you can get ahead of it. And that is the goal, is to learn how to get ahead of your triggers, or at least learn how to be able to communicate that you are triggered and what to do with it. Mm-hmm. And if you don't give yourself patience and grace to do that, you never, ever give yourself an opportunity to learn how you operate, how you tick, what makes you tick, what makes you trigger, all that fun stuff.
Right. So you never control the angry dragon.
Right.
And the angry dragon, whether you see it as such, can be covered up in some beautiful whatever, trauma, drama, or whatever, emotional whatever. But that dragon will take over if we don't control it. And it does take patience, and it does take grace, and it takes stopping. And whether you meditate or you pray or you just contemplate in a silent place, do yoga, do whatever you want, take a walk, and really be able to observe yourself, and reaching out and having people help you instead of saying, oh, I totally get it. I can totally see why you were pissed off. Right? Yeah. You have every right to be, he was such a jerk or she was such a bitch. You know, you completely, I get it. You know what? I wouldn't talk to him anymore. That doesn't help you.
No.
That hurts you.
Gassing me up, it does not help me. Help me understand why I'm so upset. That helps me.
In speaking your truth, what we realize is first we have to be truthful with ourselves. Because our truth is usually not really what we think it is. I'm going to call him and I'm going to tell my truth. He hurt me. He pissed me off. He or she didn't do anything. You reacted to what he or she did, and that is not their fault. They did what they did, and then you did what you did. And this is what I tell people. And then they say, yeah, but he pissed me off and now he's not talking to me. Okay. And then what?
His choice, right?
Right. And then what? But there you are. There you are in the gap, right? You're rejected. You're not getting what you want. Why does this always happen to me? Because you have to set boundaries with yourself first. And then once you do that, I think that you're able to reach out and you're able to say to somebody, you can even say to somebody that's emotionally unavailable. And I want to reiterate what we said in our last podcast is emotionally unavailable people are usually the ones that want the love the most. They want to be craved. They want the attention the most, and that they seek your attention as well. And that's why you have to take the time, like you said in the beginning of this podcast, to really get to know somebody. And that takes time.
Right.
You know, it takes time. Yes, people do fall in love quickly and it's beautiful and it's wonderful. It happens. But what happens when that wears off? Well, you're now down to the two people. And if the two people have a really great understanding and a communication and a vibe and an energy between them, it works. But typically what happens is, and you would know the timing of this better than I, but when we are, you know, in that place where we're in about 6 months or so and it's sort of worn off, you know, people are like, I don't really like that you do that. I don't really like that you do this. And the next thing you know, instead of us really understanding ourselves in the relationships and what we can tolerate and why we would tolerate it, because there are trade-offs and compromises in relationships. We wind up having breakups that are ugly and scarring for 20 years, right? And so it's coming down to that. It's, you know, this podcast is interesting to me because we've taken a turn back to what I really, really believe at our core. It's all about self. It's the mirror of relationship. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they say, what's the phrase? A right relationship begins with yourself. You know, you can't have a right relationship with anyone until you have one with yourself.
So if someone were to say to you, no, you got it. Exactly. So if somebody came to you and they said to you, I listened to this podcast and, you know, you're talking about me having a relationship with myself. What is that? What would you tell them? How do I do that?
Well, I mean, some of it is, you know, learning where you came from, right? Like, what kind of family did I grow up in? What did I like about growing up? What didn't I like? So it's like, it's exploration, right? It's not just accepting that life is the way it is because that's how you experienced it. And so it is, it's exploration. It's understanding what makes you tick, what makes you happy, what makes you sad. All of those things and seeing what part of it is in your control and what part isn't. Now, all of it's in your control, but the things you assign to other people, those are the things you usually need to work on, because you're assigning to somebody else and you don't understand that that's yours.
Yeah, like the you need to love me and I need to be loved like this. It's like, but, and people hate it when you say, but do you love yourself like that? And they say, that's not my job. That's my lover's job. And I think, no, it isn't. Cause you're like an empty pit.
And so, you know, I go back to my example with the flowers, right? So I love flowers. I love getting flowers. So I go buy flowers for myself every single week. Every week I buy fresh flowers and I cut them and I put them in my vases. Mm-hmm. And think about this image though. If I were dating a guy and he came to my house, what does he see?
Flowers.
He sees flowers. He now understands that I like flowers. You know what I'm saying? So it's not just me telling him what I want. He better do it. Da, da, da. He's witnessing what I do for myself. And that becomes his roadmap of what to do for me as well. So I'm teaching him how I like life. And if he agrees with that statement and I agree with the statements he makes, we have a beautiful relationship.
This is
right. But it starts with me buying myself flowers.
So when women
and him coming to my house and seeing flowers on the table
and observing and being aware enough to say, my God, you know, she loves flowers. These are beautiful. I know that I'm going to go find some beautiful flowers for her that represent my feelings for her and bring them. That's I get it. So
and he'll show me by giving me what I give myself. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. And I was just going to say, many people are givers in relationship, huge givers. For example, I had a client recently, you know, call me and say to me, you know, I went way over the top for his birthday. You know, I took him to a really expensive dinner. I paid, you know, I spent this much money on him. And for my birthday, what did he do? Nothing. You know, he took me out to dinner and, you know, gave me a set of, I can't remember, it was some sort of pottery or something. And it felt to her so impersonal, right? And she said to me, I can't do this anymore. It just doesn't seem like he cares enough for me to give me what I want and need. And I asked, well, have you told him what you want and need? And she said, I shouldn't have to do that. And I said, well, if you're expecting him to be a mind reader, then you're going to be disappointed. I think you need to tell him. And she's like, that takes the romance out of it. I don't want to have to tell him what to do. And I said, okay, so let me ask you something. How do you show him how you take care of yourself?
Right.
And she went silent and she said, I give to my kids and I give to him. And I said, okay, how do you give to yourself?
Right.
She said, well, I don't because I'm spent.
So there it is. He's giving her what she gives herself. right? And again,
mirror. That's the mirror of relationship.
You don't want to blame the victim, da 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 da. And I just don't believe in that, you know. So I'm a very girly girl, right? I'm very feminine. So you'll see pink things in my house, and you know, blush pink, and I'm always dolled up, and that's just who I am. I'm not doing it for anyone except for I really like it. Like, that's who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And so a gentleman is probably going to treat me in a more feminine manner than he would someone who does not do that, mm-hmm. right? That doesn't make it right or wrong. It's just that I subscribe to that. That's what I want and need in a relationship. And if I treat myself that way, someone else is going to treat me that way as well.
Excuse me, exactly. That is exactly right. I've noticed that.
But I have to know myself. Yeah. I have to be okay with knowing myself. I have to analyze myself. I have to be myself. So if I were dating a guy who's kind of a rough, you know, Tom guy and wants a Tom girl, and I start dressing like a tomboy and doing things like that, and I, excuse that expression, I know it's sometimes derogatory, he's probably going to treat me like that. He's going to treat me like one of the guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can't be upset that he treated me like one of the guys when I acted like one of the guys.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense.
Sometimes we do that because we want him to accept us. We want him to like us. We want him to be, you know, good with us, but he's good with the image you're portraying, not who you really are.
Right. So then what we're doing is we're not being true to ourselves or authentic or honoring that we actually like really girly feminine stuff, if that's how you are, right?
Right.
And it's no different than, you know, a woman or a man calling me and saying, you know, why can't they just be direct with me? And my answer is because they're not. They are not direct in their communication. They go in the side door. They approach sideways. And these are things that if they irritate you about someone, you either have to help them understand how you need to be communicated with and not say, this isn't my problem. It just, there's more of why people get thrown away. Because they do not take the time to understand that this person is trying to say this. Some people are so sweet and they go, oh, I get it. I get exactly what he's saying. I know him really well. And then they let that be. You see?
Right. Yeah.
And then there's the other people and they say, you know what? She just couldn't be, you know, direct with, she's not. That's right. Not how she, yeah. Do you really love this person? Do you really have feelings
right.
for this person? Or do you just want them to fill your void?
You just want to be with somebody, and the yeah. somebody is fit into the form that you've created instead of the form that they are. And so, yeah, but it all goes back to self-discovery. And that's the one thing people really, really hate. So when women or men come in my office and they want me to fix their relationship, and I said, well, to fix the relationship, I need to fix you.
Yep. Or they need to fix it. Yes.
You need to fix the relationship. I'm like, no, there's two people in a relationship and both bring something to this.
Or you need to help me fix him or her. There is nothing wrong with me. I can't handle them. And it's like, cause you can't handle yourself. That's a problem.
You're too much for yourself.
Exactly.
And so it is, you say it all the time. It's the mirror. You have to look in it. You have to take stock of all your imperfections and decide whether you want to live with the imperfection, fix the imperfection, cover the imperfection up, whatever that is. But whatever you do, that is what you're going to get. So if you do the cover up, you're going to get people who cover up. If you do the, I'm going to accept it just the way it is, you're going to get people who accept you just the way you are. So whatever you do in that mirror is what's going to be reflected in your life.
And if you don't like it, you can change it. That's the power.
Absolutely.
The superpower that we have is the power of choice. And choice means you can choose to be differently instead of repeating your old patterns again. But it goes back to what you said. It's about self-exploration first. It's about understanding self. It's never outside of you. It's within you. I believe that reality is you pushed out and projected.
Right.
I really do. You know, with the meditation and the different spiritual things that I've done, reality is created by what we think and what we feel. It is pushed out from us. And I'm sure there's a whole lot more that we don't have time to go into on this podcast, right? Yeah. But we are talking, if anything, the message that we're talking about today is it all begins within. It all begins with self. And so if you want your relationships to work and you want a relationship, you need to establish a relationship with yourself.
Right.
And then you'll have one. It's never about being a vampire, because all you're going to get is somebody that vampires off of you too.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
This is a really good podcast. Thank you for, again,
absolutely.
A really great podcast. Yeah. Is there anything else you want to say before we wrap it up?
No, I think we've covered all a lot of bases today.
All right. So everybody, thank you for joining us. And if you would like to have a consultation with either Dr. Mari or me, go to www.jocelynlife.com.